A reading from Acts chapter 9, verses 1 through 22, page 127 of the New Testament. Meanwhile, Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues at Damascus, so that if he found any who belonged to the way, men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. Now, as he was going along and approaching Damascus, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" He asked, "Who are you, Lord?" The reply came, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But get up and enter the city, and you will be told what you are to do." The men who were traveling with him stood speechless, because they heard the voice, but saw no one. Saul got up from the ground, and though his eyes were open, he could see nothing. So they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. For 3 days he was without sight, and neither ate nor drank. Now there was a disciple in Damascus named Ananias. The Lord said to him in a vision, "Ananias." He answered, "Here I am, Lord." The Lord said to him, "Get up and go to the street called Straight, and at the house of Judas, look for a man of Tarsus named Saul. At this moment he is praying, and he has seen in a vision a man named Ananias come in and lay his hands on him, so that he might regain his sight." But Ananias answered, "Lord, I have heard from you many about this man, how much evil he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priests to bind all who invoke your name." But the Lord said to him, "Go, for he is an instrument whom I have chosen to bring my name before Gentiles and kings and before the people of Israel. I myself will show him how much he must suffer for the sake of my name." So Ananias went and entered the house. He laid his hands on Saul and said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on your way here, has sent me so that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit." And immediately something like scales fell from his eyes, and his sight was restored. Then he got up and was baptized, and after taking some food, he regained his strength. For several days he was with the disciples in Damascus, and immediately he began to proclaim Jesus in the synagogues, saying, "He is the Son of God." All who heard him were amazed and said, "Is not this the man who made havoc in Jerusalem among those who invoked this name? And has he not come here for the purpose of bringing them bound before the chief priests?" Saul became increasingly more powerful and confounded the Jews who lived in Damascus by proving that Jesus was the Messiah.
So, here we go. For those of you who might remember, I have done this before, but it's been 12 years. I'm not sure what exactly I did 12 years ago that made them wait 12 years to ask me again, but time is forgiving, I suppose. But before we sort of get into this whole story of Saul and Paul, I just wanted to introduce myself for a minute because I know there are some of you here who don't know me. I was born and raised in the United Church of Christ. In 1982, when I was 12 years old, my mother was one of three women who graduated from Eden Seminary. So I'm a preacher's kid. When I was 27, after going to church nearly every week of my life, teaching Sunday school, directing choirs, singing as a paid section leader, I started asking the kinds of questions that were not really getting answered at church. So I went to seminary. And they gave me a lot more questions that needed to be answered. But in 1999, I graduated with a master's degree, not in divinity, but in religious education. I taught Bible classes at a private school, and I was chaplain there for several years, as well as working part-time as the minister of education at a few churches, and for 11 years, it was here at Altadena Community Church. So I am not an ordained minister. I know some people forget that. And if you came today to hear a highly intellectual three-point sermon with exegesis and footnotes, I apologize in advance. I am a teacher, a singer, an actor, a storyteller, and that's what I plan to do today. So first of all, this story of Saul, Paul, And kind of before we go any further, I have always found this interesting, because I'm going to talk a little bit about how I saw this story as a child, but something that has always sort of confounded me is all Saul did after a major conversion was change one letter of his name. And somehow the followers of the way were just supposed to accept that he was a changed person. No, 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 you don't understand. I'm not Saul anymore. I'm Paul. Okay. Now that's all the difference. I mean, even really, Clark can't even put on glasses, right, to change his identity. So this story from Acts has always fascinated me as a child. And now you've heard it read. By the way, thank you to my son, Diego. Alton Red was supposed to be your liturgist today. He has come down with the flu. So this morning, Diego agreed to come and be liturgist. So thank you, son. But anyway, so you heard him tell the story the way the Bible tells it. But I want to tell you the story how I heard it as a child. It's not necessarily the way it was told to me, mind you. It's the way I heard it as a child. So just go with me on this. Come on, friends. We're going to go rustle us up some Christians and kick the tar out of them. Okay, yeah, so Paul was kind of an old Western cowboy in my child's mind. Then, crash, boom, bang, thunder, bolts, lightning. Very, very frightening. Thank you, those of you who know Queen. Then the horse reared back, knocking Paul to the ground, and the lightning went zap right into his eyes, causing him to go blind. What the bloody heck? I can't see a thing. Yeah, so apparently Paul went from being a cowboy to being a British bloke. This is me as a kid. That's how my brain works. So, and then this very loud, booming voice comes down from the heavens and says, look, Paul, you got it wrong. You need to stop persecuting my people. You should join us instead. Now go into town and think about it for a while. I think my parents must have said that to me. You go to your room and think about what you've done. So that's what he did. So Paul went and he thought about it for 3 days. And then Jesus sent his friend to go check on Paul and to make him not blind anymore. Then Saul changed his name to Paul, started preaching the message of Jesus. That's how I heard the story. But this is what I understood as a child. Saul was a bad guy. He hurt people, especially Christians. But once he encountered Jesus, he was knocked on his behind, literally. He could no longer go on persecuting people. He could not follow Jesus. He could not follow Jesus. Are you following me? Double knots. I mean, he could not share his message of love. Have you read his letter to Corinthians? He could not try to help people to understand God and their relationship to God. I am not saying that he always got it right. I have some problems with Paul a little later on, but he could not spread the story of Jesus. Encounters with the risen Christ changes everyone. Sometimes the encounter is dramatic and sudden and alarming, like Paul's, but sometimes those encounters are just simple nudges, little pokes, whispers. And it takes years sometimes until we are gifted with the sight to see what it is we cannot not do. So here's just a couple of examples from my life that might kind of get your brain churning a little bit. I was never one of those people who gave money or food to people who stood outside of doors at stores or restaurants or whatever, asking for help. It was just never my thing. But one day, as I was walking into a grocery store, I saw a family asking people for food. My heart and my eyes were opened. I don't know why, but my heart and eyes opened that day, and something told me to go and get them some groceries. I'd never done anything like that before, but I could not give them a bag. I thought, how can I go home to my family with not only the basic necessities, but a few extra junk food items as well, and just walk away from this family and have them go home with nothing? So I went in and I got them just some bread and peanut butter, bananas, fruit drink boxes, granola bars, and I took it back to the parking lot for them. And that was my first time. Another time I saw a guy by himself as I came out. I was leaving, but I just couldn't keep walking past him. So I asked if he wanted a banana. I like bananas. My eyes and my heart were open, and I could not give him something. And what I believe to be another encounter with Christ has been many years in the making. In 1998, a friend gave me a book called The McDougall Program, 12 Days to Dynamic Health. I read it, I understood it, I believed in it. It supported a vegan, plant-based, cruelty-free way of eating. I did not adopt it. However, I never forgot it, and little things over the last 20 years kept leading me back in that direction. So finally, this year, I did it. I got to a point where I had no excuses for myself. This was something that I could not at least try to do. So now I call myself a practicing vegan. Practicing because I don't claim to be perfect, and I might not always get it right or do it for the right reasons. But this is something that God has put on my heart, and my eyes have been opened, and I could not try to live this way. So for the last 7 months, I've now been a practicing vegan. And of course, for most of us, for most of you probably, the most obvious thing of my double knots is that since the day I was born, I cannot not sing. My family loves to tell the story of when I was 3, and we were in a pizza place. And the song, sing, sing a song, sing out loud, sing out strong, came on the overhead thing. Well, I stood up. Like it was my anthem. And I sang. And of course, my brothers and sisters were mortified and, sit her down, mom, dad, sit her down. But that was something that was been on my heart. And, you know, before I was even placed in my mother's arms, I believe my heart and my eyes were open to music. A world filled with the sounds of people's voices, especially coming together in a choir, and adding my voice to theirs, is just something I could not do. Exactly how that serves others, I may never know exactly, but I do know that it is one of my double knots. So, you've been hearing my double knots. I need you to think for a minute, because there is a test. What are your double knots? What are the things that God has opened your heart and your eyes to that are your double knots? It can be simple. It can be profound. It can be uniquely yours. It can be shared with others. So as you're thinking about this, because I'm going to ask you to turn to your neighbors and share in just a second, so, but it's okay. I'm going to ask you to turn and share, but I have to tell you one more thing about what I've discovered about these double knots. Our double knots are not all alike, and they shouldn't be all alike, because we aren't all called to sing in the choir. We aren't all called to helping the homeless, and I know that's a shock, but it's the truth. We are not all called to adopting every kitten, although I really want to. We just aren't, and that's okay. That's why we are created to be in community. If we try to do everything that needs to be done in this world, it is completely overwhelming. I want to save the rainforest. I want there to be less plastic in the world. I want all foster children to find a forever home. I want an end to factory farming of animals. But God has also revealed double knots in some of these areas to me, but not in all of them, at least not yet. So I concentrate on the ones that I have, and I pray for and support others with their double knots. I truly believe that if we all concentrate on our own double knots, that it will all fall into place and they will all be taken care of. So now, just for a minute, you're going to turn to your neighbors and you're going to tell them about your double knots. Now, if you don't have one and you can't think of one, that's okay, because it took me 20 years to get to this whole vegan double knot. So you can tell someone, you know, I don't know yet, but you'll know when you see it. So you can tell somebody that. So you've got 30 seconds. Find a neighbor. Tell them your double knot. Share with each other so that then when we leave here, we can support one another with our prayers and our thoughts on our double knots. On your mark, get set, go. Okay, you have 5 seconds. I told you I was a teacher. Everyone, thank you. So now when we leave here today, we can pray for each other's double knots. That's the whole point of that. And inspiration, you know, comes from many, many forms. And the week that Joe asked me to give a message today, I was thinking of doing something along this idea of the not doing things. And believe it or not, we ordered pizza from Blaze Pizza. And on the pizza box, it said, I'm not kidding, do not stop to smell the flowers. I was like, are you kidding me? Okay, so God likes pizza. That was my conclusion. But I have to say the biggest inspiration for today came to me from a letter that I've had with me for many years. Of course, now I've lost it. Oh, no, here it is. It's a letter on paper, written in pen, that has been in my sock drawer or stuck in a book. I haven't really taken very good care of it. But you know, Paul was kind of into letters. I don't know if you've ever heard that. So I thought it was pretty appropriate that here I have a letter that was my inspiration. It's an important letter. As I said, I'm a preacher's kid. So my understanding of God and spiritual matters comes mostly from my mom. So I want to end today with this letter that my mom wrote to me. On July 20th, 1994, she writes up in the corner, after midnight. This was just before I moved to California 6 days later. And I'd been asking her for wisdom on a lot of things. I didn't know what kind of job I would have when I got here. I didn't know if my very new relationship with Juan would work. It's 24 years later. I think it was okay. And I didn't know if California was going to suit me. So I was struggling with this. And so this letter was her response to me. After I read this, I bet y'all wish she was your mom too. Dear Patty, I couldn't sleep. What I'm doing now is because I could not do it. Writing. It could be a letter, a poem, a sermon. Going into ministry professional happened because I could not do it. Nothing else would give me a way to use the gift within me or help me become who I need to become. I believe we are all here to grow. When I think of what else I might have done, I know I would have been miserable going back to secretarial work or joining a bridge club or having ladies' teas. Those things are not bad, they're just not for me. When I remember all the days of your singing and playing instruments, to me it seems that is what you enjoy doing. That is when you are most truly Sorry. That is when you are most truly who you are called to be, a person sharing the gift of God and knowing that God smiles when you do something with the gift to God's glory. A strange thing happens when you let go all the fears and confusions and just do it. Life flows from you. Light overcomes darkness, and at least for a brief moment, invades the lives of others, giving new life to them. And that is what the gospel, good news, is, that there is new life, a new day, a new beginning for all who will see, for all who will hear. Your song is the song God gives you. Sometimes my word for the gathered community is song. And if you think I don't sometimes try to argue about that, you are mistaken. God, I don't sing like Patty. I can't hold a tune. Well, some people won't like it. But the direction from the Spirit is such that I cannot not sing. What do we grow in? The only thing that I know for sure is that we are to grow in love. Love of God, love of self, love of neighbor. I'll never achieve a report card on that, nor will any of us. I think what we will receive is God's welcome, and therefore the knowledge of greatness and sureness of love's unending creation of all that is new and true and holy. Each new creation begins in darkness. Praise God for the darkness, the mystery, as it will be brought to light. Amen.